Our Father, we are grateful that we can come to you this morning and open up your word and hear you speak to us from the truths that you have planned for us today. And so may our hearts prepare to receive what you have for us. May we hunger and thirst for righteousness in such a way that as we listen and as you teach us, that we would constantly be thinking, what is it that you have for us? How are you transforming us and changing us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ? How are we to apply these things to our lives so that our lives, as we leave this place, go out into a world and reflect your glory so that they would see a difference, and that they would ask us of the hope that we have, that we might share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, so much is riding in these moments as we wait upon you to give to us your truth. And so we pray that you would have your way in our hearts this day. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning, and as you are seated, if you would open up your copy of God's Word and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In this last section of 1 Timothy, Paul has returned to the subject of false teachers. They have infiltrated this church at Ephesus, and so Paul has written this letter, and part of the purpose of this letter is to teach them about these false teachers, warn them, guard the gospel. And in verses 3 through 5, Paul gives two ways to identify these false teachers. So follow along as I begin reading in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul says, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy and dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain." Now, last week we began talking about how you can know if a false teacher, or if a teacher is a false teacher. And we looked at the first way that we are given here in this passage to identify a false teacher. We saw that you can know if a teacher is false by testing the content of their teaching, by testing the content of their teaching. Paul says a false teacher will teach a different doctrine than the apostles. Jesus chose 12 men who were to pass on the truths of God's kingdom that he had taught them. And so we are to measure all teaching against the core doctrine of the faith handed down to us from the apostles through Scripture. God sent his Son. He came down. He taught the apostles. The apostles taught others and wrote down what they taught, the truths that Christ taught. And this is how we got the Scripture, these core doctrines. But a false teacher is also one who teaches things contrary to the sound words of Jesus. Right doctrine will never contradict Jesus' words or his life, because that is where we get it from. They will never be in conflict with the gospel, with the good news of salvation. And then finally, Paul says a false teacher will teach things that do not accord with godliness. If teaching aligns with God's truth, then it will point you to a life of obedience to God. It will not point you away from God's commands. Now, this morning, we want to look at the second way that we can know if a teacher is false. It is the second litmus test, so to speak, that we can use. And so, number two, you can know if a teacher is false by testing the teacher. Not just by testing what they are teaching or the content of their teaching, but you can actually look at their lives. You can test the teacher. In verse 4, we drop into the second half of Paul's conditional statement. If these false teachers met certain conditions, then certain conclusions could be made about them. In other words, because they were willing to teach what was not in line with apostolic teaching, Jesus' words, and what accorded with godliness, they revealed things about themselves. And what we see is that they revealed lives that were marked by ungodliness. And this is important because it is more than just a cause and effect. When you listen to someone who is teaching, and they are teaching in a way that does not accord with God's word, then they are not just leading you away in their teaching. What Paul is going to show us is that they are going to be leading you away in their lives as well. It makes sense that those who teach contrary to God's truth, specifically contrary to what accords with godliness, would not live godly lives. If they don't believe it to be true, or they're teaching something different than that, then their lives are going to be lived differently than what God said. However, what this means is that if you are following them, then you are being led not only by their false teaching, but by their ungodly example. Paul, speaking about false teachers, says in Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. So they professed with their mouth, we know God, we are teachers from God, we are teaching the truths of God, but they deny Him by their works. And then he says they are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. You've heard me quote pastor and seminary professor Howard Hendricks many times as we do our child dedication. He says, you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. As we've seen so many times throughout this letter, Timothy's responsibility was not just to teach the truth that led to godliness, but he was to live his life as an example of godliness before the people. In chapter 4, verse 7, Paul tells Timothy, train yourself for godliness. In verse 12 of that same chapter, he says, set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. The best teacher is one who not only teaches you the truth, but sets an example of how to live out those truths in your life. It is an act of love that has a double effect. Not only do they lead you to the blessings that God has for those who obey Him, they lead you away from the heartache that comes from disobedience. But this means that the opposite is also true. It means that those who teach what is contrary to God's truth and live ungodly lives not only lead you away from God's blessing, but they lead you into the destruction that comes with ungodly living. And so what we want to do is identify some of these marks of ungodliness found in the lives of those who claim to teach the truth but do not. That way we can protect ourselves from following their ungodly lives. So it isn't just that Paul is saying, listen, don't follow what they are teaching. He is saying, don't follow how they are living. And you can know a false teacher by what they teach, but you can also know a false teacher by how they live. And in verses 4 and 5 of 1 Timothy, Paul gives us 5 marks of ungodliness that we should look for, which show up in the lives of a false teacher. First, a false teacher is marked by self-exaltation. Paul says in verse 4, false teachers are puffed up with conceit. In other words, the false teaching is not an accident or just a casual mistake. It is an intentional act that stems from a heart of pride. The phrase has already been used by Paul in chapter 3, verse 6, referring to the qualifications of the elder. There, Paul says an elder must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall to the condemnation of the devil. Paul was instructing Timothy to protect the church by not allowing recent converts to hold the position of pastor. Why? Because they were in danger of becoming prideful like the false teachers. The reason pride disqualifies someone from being an elder is that they're always in danger of ignoring what God says in place of what they think is right. And this is what we see here in chapter 6. The content of the teaching of these teachers proved they were self-reliant and were positioning themselves against the apostles, against Christ, and against God. Think about this. What these teachers were espousing did not align with what the men who walked and talked with Jesus were teaching, and yet they still continued to teach it. What these teachers were teaching did not measure up to what Jesus himself taught. It contradicted his very words, and yet they still continued to teach it. What they were teaching did not lead to a life approved by God, and yet they still continued to teach it. At every turn, despite obvious evidence that what they were teaching was not of God, they insisted that they knew better, and they plowed ahead. Anyone who insists that they know more than God is puffed up with conceit. Conceit is not just pride, it's a high form of pride. Pride is being impressed with yourself or with your accomplishments. Conceit is being so impressed with yourself that you think everyone else falls short of you. You exalt yourself. You raise yourself above everybody else. Listen, you can't get any more conceited than these false teachers because in essence, they were exalting themselves above God. They were saying by the fact that they were teaching these things, I know more than God. Don't listen to what his apostles say. Don't worry about the fact that what we're saying contradicts what Jesus said, or that your lives are being lived, if you follow us, in a way that is not in accordance with godliness. We know more. Paul says they were puffed up conceit. Listen, the fact that their teaching stood against the truth of God demonstrated that their hearts were full of conceit. And as this pride spills out in their lives, the focus of their lives becomes their own glory and not God's. Paul spends two chapters in 1 Thessalonians appealing to his conduct and the conduct of those who were with him as evidence that they were from God and that they were speaking the truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, he says, "For we never came to you with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ." Paul's ministry was not about Paul. He sacrificed himself, his comforts, his desires, all for the glory of God. All that Paul did, he did to make much of Christ and him crucified to the glory of God. It gave evidence that he was from God because Paul continued both through his teaching and through his life saying, it is not about me, it is about him. It is about him. He pointed people to Christ. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Listen, believer, anyone who teaches contrary to God's word is puffed up with conceit. God says he rejects the proud. John says they are not from the Father, but they are from the world. False teachers have rejected God's word, and God has rejected them, and therefore you should reject them as well. Get them out of your life. Stop listening to them. Stop following them. There are a lot of ministries out there that seem to be doing good things, and they sound like they teach the Bible. But when you examine them more closely, what you find is that they revolve more around a personality than around the truths of Scripture. Now listen, big personality in and of itself is not always a problem. However, when there are continued evidences that the ministry is more about the personality and not truly about Christ, then you need to run. So ask yourself some things that will help you test their hearts in this area. Do they talk about themselves as much as or more than they talk about Jesus? If this is the case, if they talk as much about themselves or as much about their ministry as they do Jesus, or they talk more about themselves or more about their ministry than they do Jesus, that is a huge red flag. A teacher's purpose is not to make you fall in love with them or to be in awe with them and all that they've accomplished and all their ministry has accomplished. It is to give you everything you need to be in awe of Jesus. Everything that they teach and everything that they do should point to Christ and say, follow Him, follow Him, follow Him. And so if they talk as much about themselves or their ministry than they do Jesus, it is a reflection of their heart. They are more worried about themselves. There's pride and there is conceit there. Are they truly interested in others or what they can get from others? In other words, do they serve sacrificially? Do they die to self in ways that give glory to God? Or is their sacrifice always accompanied by gain for themselves? What am I going to get in return? If it's the latter, then it's a good indication they are full of self and not full of Jesus. Finally, what kind of accountability have they placed around themselves? It's not just that they have people they say they are accountable to, but is there true accountability? Surrounding themselves with yes men doesn't mean they're held accountable. Do they allow others to speak into their teaching? Do they allow others to speak into their lives and correct them? Are there those who truly speak into their lives, and do they listen to them? Are they open to that? If not, then basically what they are saying is, nobody can speak into my life because I'm up here and everybody else is below me. Listen, you should look for teachers whose lives are not marked by self-exaltation, but by Christ's exaltation, lifting Him up. Follow the teachers who point you to the one who humbled Himself and came to earth to die on a cross so that we might no longer live to ourselves, but live to Him. True life is not found in living for our glory, but in living for His glory. And so any teacher whose life is marked by self-exaltation is not leading you in the gospel, but is leading you away from the gospel and from Christ, and therefore true life. This is yet another reason why you need to be connected to a local church. You can't observe and get to know a pastor through the TV or through a podcast. Find a church that preaches and teaches right doctrine by those who love Jesus and want Him to receive the glory. If you have those two elements, then I can almost guarantee that that's going to be a safe place for you to worship. Don't just hear what they say, watch what they do. Examine their lives. But there's a second mark we need to look for. A false teacher is marked by a lack of understanding. Paul says they are puffed up with conceit and understand nothing. Now, these are directly related to each other. The conceit of the false teacher meant they were fully confident in themselves. They were fully confident in what they were teaching. However, in reality, what Paul says is they have no understanding whatsoever of the truth. They think that they are preaching and teaching what is from God, and yet in reality, they don't understand at all. In other words, they didn't understand the law and the scriptures, even though they were confident that they did. One commentator said they were as ignorant as they were arrogant. I think that is a great way to describe a false teacher. They are as ignorant as they are arrogant. See, the thing about pride is that pride inoculates itself. Pride tells you, you're not prideful. Oh, that's just them. They don't know. Pride tells you that you're right. Pride tells you there's no reason to think otherwise. And so you're blinded by pride. And a lack of understanding is one of those things the false teacher's pride does not allow them to see. It's not that they don't know the Bible. They can tell you all about the Bible. They can tell you the stories from the Bible. They can quote you verses from the Bible, and they'll put hundreds of them down at the bottom of the screen as they teach and preach. But the problem is they don't understand the Bible and its truths. These false teachers in 1 Timothy knew the Old Testament scripture. They knew what it said. The problem was they didn't understand the truth. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:7, there are those who are always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Think about that. They learn and they learn and they learn. They're always learning. They're always getting more information. They're always reading more. They're always able to talk to you about things, but they never come to a knowledge of the truth. I think 2023 is going to be looked back upon as one of the most important years in the history of mankind. And I don't think I'm overstating that. Though it's been in the works for years, artificial intelligence really debuted this year. It came out, and I think we're going to look back at 2023, and whatever you think about artificial intelligence, the genie is out of the bottle, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And we'll look back at 2023 and go, you remember when that happened? Right now, AI is probably most popular for things like ChatGPT. To say that slowly, or I will not say it correctly. ChatGPT means chat-generated, pre-trained transformer. It's a natural language processing tool that is driven by artificial intelligence. Here's what that means. You literally can have a conversation with your computer as you would with someone else. You can ask them questions. They will answer the question. You can interact with them. It will assist you in tasks. It will do much more. Listen, ChatGPT can write poems about Jesus. And they're actually really, really good. ChatGPT can form Bible study questions. If you give it the right information and say, here's what I want, it will spit out Bible study questions for you. ChatGPT can even write a sermon for you that probably could be preached from this pulpit and encourage you. But here's the thing. ChatGPT knows a lot of scripture and it knows all the stuff here, but it doesn't understand the truths of scripture. It's just spitting out information. It's collecting knowledge from this source and collecting knowledge from that source and putting it all together and just spitting it out. It has no understanding, though, of what these truths truly mean. This is why false teachers can be so dangerous and so deceptive. They use the very words of God to convince you of things that are not of God. They are convinced that God's word says something, but it doesn't. And so they will quote verses and give examples and lay out convincing argument. However, they really have no understanding of the truths of God. And if you do not understand the Bible, then you do not understand life. This means that a false teacher not only teaches what they don't understand, they live their lives from a lack of understanding. Do you see what that means? It's not just that they are giving you truth that they don't understand. They're going to conduct their life out of that lack of understanding. So therefore, again, if you are following their life, you are not following someone who is leading you towards godliness. Because they do not understand the truth, they conduct their lives in a way that denies the truth and they lead you to do the same. Really, Pastor? Someone can open this book and speak these truths and not understand them and literally lead us in the opposite direction of what these truths said? You don't think that's the case? What about the Pharisees? Turn with me in your Bibles. We don't do this often, but turn with me to John chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 8. Look at verse 39. We're dropping right in the middle of a conversation that the Pharisees are having with Jesus. So they answer Jesus and they say, verse 39 of John 8, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." And they said to him, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my words. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Did you notice that the Pharisees knew the truth? Abraham is our father. They knew the Old Testament. They knew exactly where they descended from. We have one father, one God. They weren't polytheists. They were pointing to what the scripture said. There is one God, and he's our God. Yet they did not understand the truth because they were not doing the true works of Abraham in verse 39. In verse 43, they did not understand what Jesus, who is the truth, was saying. And therefore, they conducted their lives in a way that denied the truth. Verse 40, "You seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth." Verse 42, "They do not love Jesus." Ultimately, because the Pharisees did not understand the truth that they had, and they conducted their lives according to that misunderstanding, they led the Jews to kill the very Messiah that they were longing and looking for. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they're looking for the Messiah, and here he stands before them, and yet the Pharisees say, "No, follow me. We know the Old Testament. We know the truth." And they don't just lead them away from Jesus. They lead them to crucify him. Paul says in Ephesians 4, 17, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." That is how those who know the truth, see the truth, can actually not understand the truth and lead others away. Paul is saying something very important there. When Paul says Gentiles, he's referring to those who are not saved. Lost people walk or conduct their lives in concert with a futile mind. In other words, they try and figure life out with what they know. So here's what I know, and so life has to fit in this paradigm of the things that I know. But it's futile because their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God because of ignorance. But look at where this ignorant originates from Paul. Their inability to understand life is due to the hardness of their heart, he says in Ephesians. So if you lack an understanding of the truth, it is due to a hardness of your heart. So this mirrors what we see in 1 Timothy. A lack of understanding is due to an inability of the mind, which stems directly to a hardness of the heart. They are not dumb. They are not unable to comprehend concepts. They are lost and they are unable to receive and understand God's truth. Paul makes this clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them." Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:7, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Listen, believer, it is only those whose hearts have been transformed by the power of the cross and resurrection and the presence of the Holy Spirit who are able to truly understand the truths of God. So when you follow a false teacher, you are following someone who does not truly understand the truths of God because they don't have a relationship with God. You are not just following someone who, "Oh, I know Jesus and I love Jesus. I just don't get the Bible." They don't get the Bible because they don't have a relationship. The Holy Spirit is not in them, showing them and giving them spiritual discernment and spiritual understanding of spiritual things. You are following someone that has no relationship with God at all. They may use God's word and say things that sound deeply spiritual, but in reality, they are leading you away from Him. They are following their father, the devil, and you are following their lead. 1 John 2:26 says this, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from Him, from Jesus, abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Me. This is taken by some to say that men shouldn't teach under the sit under the teaching of others. Others say this proves that seminary is unbiblical because it says you don't need anybody to teach you anything. That's not what this means. John is saying in the context of false teaching that the Spirit is your primary source for understanding God. And so as false teachers rise up, which they knew in the first century they were continuing to rise up and were going to continue to rise up, as they do that and try to deceive you, you don't have to go to the pastor and get discernment. You don't need someone to come in and say, that's right and that's wrong. The Holy Spirit who indwells in you gives you discernment of things that are right and are wrong. And so a false teacher rises up, the Holy Spirit in you, who gives you understanding of the truth of God, says, wait a minute, that is wrong. It does not line up with this. What they are saying, even though they are using the Bible, is not the truth. Because they lack understanding. Now, it doesn't mean you won't struggle with certain portions of Scripture. Even Peter said Paul was hard to understand. He was an apostle himself, pointing to another apostle, and said, when you read Paul, beware, he's going to be a little hard to understand. It's not what he's talking about. It doesn't mean that an understanding of Scripture happens all at once, or that you can't grow in your understanding of Scripture. The fact that the Holy Spirit is in you doesn't mean you can't still be deceived, because you can. I think one of the greatest pitfalls for believers when it comes to false teachers is laziness. They don't want to do the hard work of reading and meditating and praying over Scripture. Look, the Holy Spirit doesn't just open your head and pour understanding into your brain. He works with your study and with your meditation and with the hearing of the Word in order to give you understanding. So if you will get into the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in understanding in the truths of God's Word, then you can discern what is true and you will reject what is false. Now we are here. We're to help you. This is what the whole book of Timothy is about. Timothy, stand guard. Teach the truth. Point out false teachers. But some of you feel like you're just out there in the ocean and there's like, what do I do? All these false teachers around me, who's right and who's wrong? You have everything you need for life and godliness, says Peter. The Holy Spirit indwells you, and He can give you discernment. If you will take this, get on your face before God, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, He will give you understanding, and it will protect you from false teachers who are cunning and seek to deceive you. You have everything you need. With so many false teachers espousing so much error and being cunning about it, you can become overwhelmed thinking about who to listen to and not listen to, who to watch and not watch. God didn't leave you on your own to fight. And so no matter who you are, how educated you may or may not be, it doesn't matter how short you have been in church, a short a time you've been in church, God has equipped you with the Holy Spirit so you can understand the Scripture and discern what is and is not from God. And so, brothers and sisters, as you examine those teachers who say they are from God, look for two things, self-exaltation, and then listen for an understanding of the Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you to discern God's truth. And if either exists, if you see this sense of self-exaltation, they are pointing you away from Christ and pointing you to themselves more often than not. Or there's a lack of understanding. The Spirit constantly is telling you, wait a minute, that is not right. That is not true. Go back to the Word and see what it says. Then you need to reject them. You need to stop listening to them. You need to turn them off. I don't care how funny they are. I don't care how good their stories are. You need to say no. But there are three other marks we need to look at next week. Okay? So as we move into our time of personal response this morning, then let me urge you to think about what God is saying to you. What is it that God is saying to you this morning? I know you're packing up your Bible, but listen. Because if we go out of here and all we have is knowledge, then we don't apply it, then really, are we any better? It's the Spirit who is going to take the truths of God, and He's going to say, in these moments, I'm going to give you some things to think about. Not because I've been reading your mail, but because He knows everything about you. So I may not say anything that applies to you in these times of personal response. But it's amazing how when I say something, the Holy Spirit will take your mind about two or three steps over to something that you know He is dealing with you about. So it may be this morning that your response to God is to praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit who guards your heart. Maybe you just haven't reflected on the Holy Spirit and His ministry in your life to say, listen, that is not true. I mean, you literally, without the Holy Spirit, could be in a different place this morning, singing songs that are different, with people who are different, and not in a good way, because the person who stands is not preaching or teaching this. Listen, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. People neglect what God has given them. They neglect the Bible. They neglect the Holy Spirit. And they find themselves wandering away. Listen, the Holy Spirit is there to guard you. Praise God. Praise God for His ministry in your life. Or maybe you need to pray this morning and ask the Holy Spirit, believer, to reveal to you if there are those that you are following, those that you are listening to, those that you are reading, who do not line up with the truths of God's Word. Maybe you've been listening to them for a long time and you've just sort of been lulled into the fact that they are teaching the truth. So you just take whatever they say for granted. You're not listening with a discerning ear. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, listen, what they're saying isn't right. You need to let go. You need to leave them. Or it may just be someone in your life who is giving you counsel, and that counsel is unbiblical. And what the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, you're listening to the wrong people this morning. You're listening and patterning your life behind those who do not follow me. And they can still be a friend or an acquaintance, but you have got to stop listening to their counsel because it is not healthy for you. And you need to begin to gain your counsel from the Word of God. Listen, just because they're not behind a pulpit and they don't have a suit and tie on, or they're not on TV or whatever, doesn't mean that they're not a false teacher. They could sit in the cubicle next to you and be giving you a bunch of bunk. They can call themselves Christians. They can say they go to church. They can say they're even Baptist. But if they're not lining up with this, then you've got a problem. So look at their lives. Because the pride that they have, the conceit, will find its way out. They will exalt self. They will not have an understanding. They will tell you Scripture. But you'll go, wait a minute, I've never heard that before. There's a red flag right there. And as you begin to look at Scripture and you begin to ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, He will do so, and you will see that they are off base. You need to stop listening to them. You need to stop gaining their counsel. Or it may be you've been in your in church a long time. Maybe you've been going to church all your life. And yet you just don't understand the Bible. You don't understand when Jesus says things like, if you want to gain your life, then you have to lose your life. Or the greatest thing for your life is not to gain the world, but it's to gain the life that I offer you. You know, it may be the reason you don't understand those truths and they make no sense to you and you have no desire for them is because the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell in you. So you've been going to church and you've been gaining knowledge, but you have no understanding because you don't have what is needed to have spiritual discernment. Listen, that's not something to be embarrassed by. It's something that the Holy Spirit right now is bringing to your mind so that you can do something about it this morning. Because God loves you. And as many times as you have heard this story before, I'm asking you to listen yet again. He created you. And He has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. And He said, I want you to worship me. And for all these years, He has put you in church. He's been gracious to you. And you have heard His truths and you've heard the stories and you've heard about His love, but you've never received it. And this morning, that can change. Because you know and you realize for the first time what it means that your sin separates you from a holy God. That He is just. And that all the grace that He has offered you time and time and time again that you have rejected means that you are deserving of His wrath. And yet He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins, so that you could be forgiven of your rebellious heart and your pride, and you could receive His grace and forgiveness. Jesus took your place. He took what you deserved. And then He rose from the grave so that not only could you be given righteousness, you could be given His life. And now, if you, all those who put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, will be forgiven of their sins, and they will know, they will know, they will know, they will know that they have the life of Christ in them, and therefore they will live eternity with God. Listen, I don't care how long you have been in church. If you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are not saved. Do you hear me this morning? That is not me condemning you. That is me begging you to stop relying on your past. To stop relying on things that you have done. To stop listening to the false teachers who say you have to do, and if you do this, you please God. Listen, your works mean nothing. But if you will come and you will humble yourself and you will surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will not reject you. He will not say, I've given you too many chances. You don't have any more chances. What He'll say today is, I've been waiting on you the whole time. Right here waiting on you. Will you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? As the praise team comes, in just a moment, they're going to begin to play and they're going to begin to sing. And we're going to open up this invitation. Pastor Ryan and I will be standing down front. You may need prayer. You may have questions about salvation, this thing called the gospel. We would love to talk to you about that. We would love to pray with you. But in these moments, this is God dealing with you. Probably the most important part of this whole time of worship is you saying yes to Him. And so if you sit there and you use this time to praise God for what He has given you, then that's your response. Or to think about those that you are following and committing to leave those that He has pointed out to you that are leading you in the wrong way, or if it is to get up from where you are and to come down and say, I want to be saved. Whatever it is, you say yes to Jesus. Our Father, we thank You for you are so good. There is much evil in the world. And many times it doesn't present itself like wars and murder. Satan is so subtle. He doesn't care if we live a good life as long as we don't believe and put our faith and trust in Jesus. And so thank you that you have given us the truth, that you have showed us the truth in the life of Jesus Christ, and that you have given us the Holy Spirit who reveals the truth to us. And my prayer right now in these moments is that believers and unbelievers alike would see the truth and that they would respond with yes. Let me pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, praying all over this auditorium, you dealing with God, praying for others who need to receive Christ, saying yes to whatever it is that God has laid on your heart, you respond to Him this morning.